Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning. Thursday, August the 20th, 2026. Rainy Thursday morning. 14 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Do want to remind everybody that Voice of a People with Linda Sims will follow this program today. 10:15 a.m. until 12 noon, and then Adam the Computer Guy today from 12:15 until 1 p.m. Don't miss any or either of those programs coming up later on today here on WGH Talk. We're glad to be joined in the studio this morning by Cindy Price, the director of the Marion County Board of Elections, and Brian Blair, the deputy director, to talk about a few things going on at the Board of Elections and the upcoming election, which is less than 90 days away. Thanks, guys, for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Let's talk. I know there's an issue that brings you in this morning that is very important to you, involving precincts. Was it precinct?
Election officials.
Oh, election officials. Excuse me. Why did I think precinct?
Okay.
Election officials.
You threw me for a minute.
That's right. That was my fault.
So we have a big campaign going on right now to increase our numbers of precinct election officials.
That's where I got precinct.
Yep. There you go. There you go. And so we have been going around to local businesses, taking posters around. We're taking coasters around.
Oh.
There's one for you.
Thank you.
We're taking coasters around and just getting the word out for precinct election officials. We have electronic billboards out off of University Drive, up at Hessler's, and behind Marion City Brewery there. So we do have billboards up, and we've gotten some response from that.
We have. We've actually increased the number of poll workers already, so mm-hmm. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Is there normally a lack of poll workers?
We have a hard time sometimes getting precinct election officials. Also depends on the time of the year, whether it's a May, March, or November election, what's going on in the community, other events happening, and so forth. And we have to have the bipartisan. So we have to have the Democrats and the Republicans. And so sometimes we have a hard time filling some of those positions. So we needed to increase our numbers, but we also definitely have to increase our numbers before the next presidential. We've got to have a pool of people to be precinct election officials.
How many do you have to have?
We have to, our minimum is 90, but 90 is really tough. We have to have two per precinct as long as our board votes for us to reduce it from 4 to 2 per precinct. Even at 90, that's really pushing our polling locations. We tried to shoot for about 120 something.
120, 126, yeah. I think, mm-hmm. is 130, I guess.
Yep.
Would probably be the right number.
And at this point, where would you say we are?
We are at about, I didn't bring the other piece of paper with me. We are about at
112, I think she said yesterday.
Just a little over 100.
Yeah. 100. Yep. Why do you think it's hard to get poll workers?
It's a long day.
Long day.
Long day. They are reporting at 5:30 in the morning on election day, and they are there until approximately 8 o'clock, I would say.
About 8 p.m.
Yeah. So it's a long day.
And some people don't think they get paid, but they actually do get paid. Mm-hmm. We do pay people to be precinct election officials. It's $165 for the training and for working that day. So mm-hmm. it's a great way to earn money if you're a young person. And you have time that day. We can actually have precinct election officials as young as 17 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the training like?
So the training, usually we try to have it within 1 to 2 hours. And we schedule some during the morning, during the afternoon, and we have some evening classes. And we try to put people in training classes based upon the job that they're going to be done at the on election
yep.
day. So that way we can train them as a solid group. And that's worked out really well for us.
That has.
That's good.
Yeah.
Do people come in and think it's too much to do this job?
I haven't really heard that response. It's too much. It's just that it's a long day.
Yeah.
That long day is tough for people.
Yeah.
Like I said, they have to be there at 5:30 in the morning. They're there till 8 o'clock at night. So it's a long day.
It's a great way to make new friends.
It is.
Yeah,
and some of our precinct election officials have done that. They hang out after election day, and when they call us to work the next election day, they're like, oh, but I got to work this job with this person at this polling location.
Right.
So,
are there a lot of repeat people who do this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Our core is always repeat. Yep.
Yeah. Well, why do they like it? What is the reason they give for coming back time after time?
So, you've probably seen a recent article in the Marion Star about a couple of our precinct election officials, and they said they just like seeing people they haven't seen for years. It's kind of like rekindling old friendships. They've seen people that they probably haven't seen for 30, 40 years. They come in and vote. And Brian and I have really worked hard as far as trying to get our polling locations. We want repeat people. We want you to be able to come in and vote. You know exactly that person is that's checking you in, the team that's checking you in, and it's kind of a comfort zone for our voters too. So
we love the consistency. Mm-hmm. And I think that our precinct election officials, once they actually start working for us, they like that consistency as well. As Cindy said, sometimes they actually call us and say, I want to work with this person. Well, remember, if they're working with that person, they're opposite parties as well. Mm-hmm. So like, they make friendships across the aisles.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice thing.
It is. Yeah. It's a super nice thing.
How long do people have to sign up?
So we would like to have them to sign up as soon as possible. We actually do most of our training the month of September. I believe our first training class is September 15th, September 17th, somewhere in there. So the sooner the better. They can call our office at 740-223-4090. They can actually, all the posters and coasters and things we have around town has a QR code. You can actually go to the QR code and it takes you right to the screen to be able to just fill in your information. You will then receive an email from the Secretary of State's office just thanking you for registering as a precinct election official, and then somebody from our office will follow up with an email or a phone call.
What should people know about this that they probably don't know? Besides, they get paid. That's a big thing.
That's a big thing. Very big. So if you are, there's some organizations that give you continuing education credit. So if you're an attorney, a realtor, a social worker, those groups of people actually can get continuing education credit. So we have some of those that return every elections for their continuing ed. And I think the camaraderie is a big deal that people don't expect, and it happens. It just happens. And again, they see people they haven't seen for a long time. So, and just the giving back to your community. I mean, yeah, it's $165 a day. I get it's not tons of money, but you're doing something for all of our voters in Marion County, and we think that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this has changed over the years? Do you think more people were interested maybe 15 years ago than are now?
We've only been around for 6 or 7 years, so that would be hard for me to make that determination. The other thing I wanted to go back to, we talked about, and Brian mentioned earlier about the 17-year-olds being precinct election officials. That always looks good on like a college resume. Some teachers might work with them as far as extra credit. In some counties, we've not seen this happen in Marion County yet, but let's say there's a class that wants to do a project and they need to raise money. Well, they can get 4 or 5 17-year-olds to come out and work our polling location, and then they can. And we can't write the check, obviously, to the organization, but we write it to the person. The person then could donate the money to whatever their group was that they were trying to raise money for. So the money can even be further taken for community events or community projects. So it just kind of rolls on down the hill, so to speak.
It might count as community service. I'm not sure. You would check with your schools.
Correct. Yep. Yeah.
Is it problematic that election day is on a Tuesday for people?
I don't
Do you think if it was on a weekend? Do you think it was on a, you know, people say make it a holiday, put it on a weekend, because school is in that day?
Well, not always. Like, so
sometimes school cancels,
right?
Or because we have our polling locations,
right?
Yeah,
because polling, yeah,
it's because we have a couple of our polling locations at schools. I don't know. We have a month of early vote, so we have early voting going on for a month. I don't notice so much Saturdays and Sundays being different, other than at the end of the early vote center,
right?
Time frame. So the last, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I would say we're probably busy. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an opinion.
There are so many opportunities to vote in Ohio. I don't speak for other states, but in Ohio, you do have that 30 days. It's almost, is it 24 days of actually early voting or early in-person voting. You have the opportunity to request an absentee ballot by mail. So we can just mail your ballot to your home and you can mail it back or you can drop it off. And then you have Election Day. And Election Day being consistent throughout the country, I think, is very important, especially so if it's on a Tuesday. Everyone knows it's the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. That's Election Day. And it's been that way forever that I'm aware of.
For some kids who might be in school, who might want to work as a precinct official, or just somebody who might want to do it, most people probably have to work that day if they're still working. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a little bit of a problem?
They have to be there the entire day.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want that consistency throughout the day. You want the consistency for the voters, the consistency of the process. So we actually, they have, once they're there at 5:30 in the morning, they're there until 8 o'clock at night. So they can't leave to go to another event or to work or anything.
Now, do they get lunch and dinner?
They do. They get breaks. The voting location manager works with them throughout the day and just kind of helps them determine like which tables they can close down at which time and move kind of people around so we can accommodate everybody for lunch and dinner and possibly a snack or whatever they need.
How long does the training take?
It's usually an hour or two.
Just about an hour or two.
Yeah, about an hour or two for the training.
Well, they have it. There's an online training they have to do as well. So if you have... If you've already done it for this year, you don't have to do the online training again, so that's exciting. If you have not done the online training, you will have to do the online training and then do an in-person class. And I would say the in-person class, it's an average of, I would say 2 hours. I would just block out 2 hours just to make sure that you have the entire amount of time. But that time, you're getting paid $35 for the 2 hours. So, I mean, we're trying to... make sure they're compensated for that, and then $130 for election day, so the total comes to $165.
Mm-hmm. What would you say last year was the makeup of the poll workers? More senior citizens, more kids, more men, more women?
Definitely more senior citizens. I've never looked at the gender. To guess off the top of my head, I'm going to tell you more females than males, but I have not looked at that.
It seems to go very well. When I always wait and vote on election day, and I go out, and the process always seems very simple, and everybody knows what they're doing, and it's a nice process. Have you ever heard back stories where things have happened, people don't pick up the training easy?
So most of our precinct election officials, they're there for the day they've been trained. Most of them do that repeat job. So, and they have to work as a team. So they're not individuals out there working. So that is helpful, I think, if anybody is new. We try not to put like two new people together. We want to kind of have a veteran and a new person. So I haven't really heard that. If anything, it would be like the line sometimes will get backed up. But I don't consider that as far as being new. It's just the popularity of whatever election is happening. We have had some lines before, but not crazy in Marion County.
Yeah. Do you have to work in the area that you vote in?
So our primary goal is we put you at your polling location. There are times we've had to move people around to make sure all of our positions are filled across the county, but our primary goal is that they work in their own polling location.
That's always the goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there an assumption prior to an election this year, you know, it's a gubernatorial year, about how many people will turn out?
Based on history, we do go back and we look. We do try to determine what are we expecting for a turnout this year. We do look back at history and previous elections, but we are expecting a good turnout this year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's anything in particular driving the vote this year? We have obviously a lot of statewide offices. Mm-hmm. We do have something local for people in the city, the extension of city council terms. That's on the ballot this year. Is it a combination of things that drive people out to the polls?
I think it's a combination, but usually when it's like a governor's race, I mean, we're going to get more people out for the gubernatorial. So we actually had 12 local questions and issues file. 11 of them were certified by our board pending Secretary of State and our county prosecutor's approval. So we have a share across the board. We have a couple of countywide. So we have a good share of questions and issues that I think will pull some local people out.
Absolutely.
Do people ask a lot of questions before election day about what's on the ballot, where they're going to vote at?
They do. And so we've tried to work over the years of, you know, letting people know we've definitely increased the information on our website. They can actually see their sample ballot on their website before they come and vote. They can come into our office and view a sample ballot if they just want to see it prior to the election day. People do come in and ask and want to know what's on the ballot prior to.
Yeah. Sample ballots will be available in the middle of September. So they're not available yet because we haven't created our ballot yet. But the sample ballots will be available in the middle of September. We'll put them on our homepage. So you can just click right there where it says
on our website.
Yep.
What are the deadlines people need to know?
So the biggest deadline, the question we get right now, what's happening, is am I registered? Just want to double check if I'm registered. They'll call our office. They actually can go to the website. So that registration deadline is October 5th at 9 p.m. So we definitely want to make sure that everybody gets that registration done before October 5th at 9 o'clock. We are accepting absentee ballot applications now. You can actually get a form to complete at our office. You can call and we can mail one to you. They're actually located in the drop box, or beside the drop box in the parking lot behind the county building. And so those absentee applications, I'm going to guess off the top of my head, we probably have 100 to 200 now.
Yeah,
I'm guessing that people have already submitted, because you have to fill out an absentee ballot application for each election. And so we have some, you know, they'll wait to be processed. Those ballots will go out on October 6th. And the last day to actually submit an absentee ballot application is October 27th. Yep, mm-hmm. October 27th at 8:30 p.m. To submit an application to our office. But you don't want to wait that long, because we've got to have time to mail it to you, and you want to be able to turn it back in. One new thing that started in May is if you get an absentee ballot, if you have one mailed to you, then they have to be in now on election night by 7:30 p.m. It used to be that they had a few days after the election, that as long as it was postmarked by the Monday before the election and so forth. That's no longer the case. They have to be in our office by 7:30 p.m. on election night.
That's correct.
You know, obviously we know what happens on election day and the days leading up to it, but the rest of the year, what goes on at the Board of Elections?
Well, like right now, we're in the middle of doing national change of address and working on NCOA supplementals, checking voter registrations, who hasn't voted for several years, status that everyone is in, if we're, you know, having anything that they need to update on their voter registration. You know, we always joke that we, you know, people think you only work 2 days a year, but it's a lot. Our office, we have a lot going on. We already have people inquiring about, well, what if I run for office? When do these seats come open? When can I pick up a petition? So we've actually scheduled a candidates class, and we schedule that on January 6th at 1 o'clock at the county building. And we say that's for anybody that's just curious about running for office, wants to know how, what the petition process is like. So we do things like that in between election time.
Campaign finance.
Campaign finance is a big thing that we work on in our office. So yes, we have lots of jobs to do in between, for sure.
How often do people get tripped up by these things? Doing something wrong on an application, getting something wrong in regard to campaign finance?
So if we just go back to the absentee ballot applications, it's really important when you fill out an absentee ballot application that you fill everything out. So some people might fill the entire form out and they might miss the date of birth. So then we have to contact them, let them know that they've missed a date of birth on their absentee ballot application. So that trips them up. Same thing once they send the ballot back to us. Same thing, the ID envelopes are not always filled out completely. Signature may be missing. I'm trying to think of said the birthday, I guess, is another popular thing sometimes that's missing on those ID envelopes.
Signature is a big one. Yeah. A lot of times people, like, they fill everything out and then they date it, and we're like, wait, you dated it, but you didn't sign it. So we do, and we do match those signatures up with the records that we have on site from their voter registration, from their absentee applications. From most recent signatures, not, you know, you don't have to go back to high school and try to remember exactly how you signed. We know that signatures change over time. Voters can also change their voter registration signature. They can do an update. We have signature update forms available in our office.
Has there been an uptick in people who want to run for office?
I would say we've gotten probably more calls about when certain seats are expiring but our direction always says kind of wait till December to get your petition, because the Secretary of State's office comes out with a new candidate requirement guide, and we never want anybody starting out with the wrong petition or the wrong information in case they're updating anything. So everybody has contacted us so far, I would say maybe a half dozen. We've just said, hey, you know, wait till the candidate requirement guide comes out in December, stop in our office, and we have encouraged them to attend that candidate class, because not only do we go over filing a petition, filling a petition, circulating a petition, we also go over campaign finance. And you mentioned campaign finance. Probably our biggest issue in campaign finance is transposing numbers, I would say.
That's the biggest one.
Not including a receipt. We have to go back and ask them to include a receipt. So, and the big thing right now that we've really been pushing for, I would say, the last few years, is you've got to file on time. Our board has taken the stance that if you file late, you automatically are turned into the integrity unit. So we've had, I would say, four or five maybe in the last probably 6 months or so that have been turned over to the integrity unit for filing late. So it's important when the deadlines are there, whether it's about voting or about campaign finance, a deadline's a deadline.
Yeah. What is getting the most questions asked about for the current election?
What's on the ballot already, which we're still in the process of working through that. That actually started back in June when you were asking what we do in between elections. So we have to work through the questions and issues. So some people right now are saying, you know, what's on the ballot? And we're also, because of our big push for precinct election officials, we're getting questions about being a precinct election official. We have several new people.
We have a lot of people calling us asking if they're registered to vote.
Registered to vote. Am I registered? How do I put in an absentee ballot application? Right. Yeah.
Yep. Is the local issue extending city council terms, is that getting a lot of inquiry?
I have not personally had a lot of calls about
heard
that.
Nothing
maybe
about
one
it.
Or two.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have Marion City. We have the staggered terms that will be on the ballot. We have Adam H., MCBDD, that are the two countywide issues. Salt Rock Township has a fire levy. Green Camp Village, Ridgedale Local School District, Elgin Local School District, Pleasant Township Fire, Prospect Village, Prospect Township, and Battle Run Fire District. So those people are out there talking, you know, to other people. So we're getting questions about what's on the ballot, I guess. But in general, I haven't really seen any.
I've not heard anything about the city specifically.
What do you think drives people to the ballot? It's always interesting to me that obviously the year in which most people turn out, a presidential year, obviously that's not a local office, but it does drive people to turn out. Does governor normally drive people to turn out more than they would in just a local year, municipal year?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Why do you think that is, on the whole? Why is it that offices that may not impact us as much directly will draw more voters than a local election?
We always talk
I wish about we right? could. I wish we could actually answer that question as to why people think that the bigger offices are more important when the local ones. I always say local elections are your most important elections, because those are the people that you can go down the road and knock on their door. You can go to a township trustee meeting. Like I've never gone to a state legislative meeting in my life. So I'm just saying, like, voting for those people, that's great if you want to vote for those people to do what you want them to do. But the person that's going to make sure that my road in front of my house is plowed, or that the potholes are filled in, those are the ones that you can actually – those are your local people that you can actually go and talk to. I had a deer that died, like got hit by a car or something in front of my house. I called my township trustee, and they were like, hey, call the engineer. You're on a different road. And I was like, okay. So I called the engineer. And they were able to take care of it and get rid of it. But I cannot, I don't know the governor's number.
Right.
So,
you know, it's interesting. The last gubernatorial election happened during the pandemic. It was DeWine and Nan Whaley. But this election, boy, there are ads everywhere. Ramaswamy and Acton. And these are both candidates that people knew before. They had national attention, both of them. Do you think that's going to cause a greater turnout this time than and because it's so close?
It's possible.
I would think so, but yeah, we don't know for sure.
We don't know for 100% sure, but we know, like I said, we know what the most recent like election was, so we can expect that, and then maybe even a 10% or more increase. Especially with candidates, like you said, being known nationally, which brings more eyes and attention onto Ohio.
And also that Senate race, I think, will probably draw
Senate
some
race.
People in.
Yep,
and
I agree.
Those are both very well-known politicians from both parties that are going to go at it. So,
what? Take us through Election Day. What is Election Day like at the Board of Elections?
At our office?
Yeah, at your office, here locally.
Well,
what time do you guys come in, and what goes on all day?
Our staff has to be there at 5 in the morning. So our staff is required to show up at 5 o'clock. We deliver in teams of Republicans and Democrats, bipartisan teams. We deliver certain items to the polling locations at 5. The polling locations open at 5:30. Phone starts ringing about 5:35.
About 5:15. We always leave someone in the office so that they can answer the phones.
Right. So we deliver the items out. We kind of make sure everything is up and running at each of our. We have 8 polling locations. Those have not changed for the last since 2023. 2023. Those have not changed. Same 8 polling locations. Once the day gets started, our phone's ringing. We're getting questions. We have voters come in. We have precinct election officials calling us. We have voting location managers calling us. And throughout the day, Brian and I go to every polling location. We personally visit every single one of them. We think that's important for our jobs, that we're actually out there. You know, you can sit in your office and come up with the best idea in the world, but you've got to see it in action, and you've got to see how it's running, and make sure that we're happy and their voters are happy with that process. We do have a tech and a voting location manager that oversee each polling location. They are also of opposite parties. Brian and I are of opposite parties. So, yeah, we just go around on election day, make sure everything's rolling. About 5 o'clock, we want everybody back at our office. Anybody that's been out there throughout the day checking things out, they come back into our office. We start talking about, okay, here's where we're going to get the ballots back. We got the trucks coming. We got to make sure everything's on time. We start getting everything set up for tabulation. So we actually have to be logged on to our tabulation system by 7:45 at night. Once the trucks start rolling in with the ballots, we start putting all of our numbers into the system. We then, Brian and I cannot go home until the Secretary of State releases us, which is typically, we try to be out there by 11. We have stayed as late as 2 a.m. and sometimes later than that. So we cannot leave until we're released.
Right. How many people are in the office that night?
That night, when everything's getting returned from our...
Yeah, once the polls close.
I would say, without counting everybody, I would say we probably have around 20.
That sounds about right. With the number of people from our office staff, our board members, we have a 4-member board. Mm-hmm. They actually are there on election night, along with people that are helping us, remove the tabulation, or not remove, remove the TMs from the thing.
Scanners.
The scanners, the ballots getting removed from the ballot boxes.
Our VLMs, our voting location managers, and our techs then are responsible to bring certain items back that night.
Right.
So then they're lining up at our back door. We have people checking them in. I'm going to, just off the top of my head, 20. And then we have public there. I think you are usually or send a representative. We have a lot of news stations sometimes will pop in or have called us prior to. Mm-hmm. One other thing is, I know sometimes people say, well, you're not dropping your numbers fast enough. But our big thing is, we've got to be accurate in what we do. And so as soon as each number gets uploaded into our tabulation system, Brian immediately goes over, makes copies, gives them to the news outlets that are in attendance there in our office, and then post them on our website. So that's like a constant process until we upload our very last number. So just keep an eye on our website, because until we upload our final number, the numbers will keep changing. Right. So,
and refresh your browser. Please refresh the browser.
Yes, and that's a very good point, because we got somebody's like, well, why I've been watching forever and I haven't. You got to refresh that browser. You got to make sure you're not looking at the exact same screen the whole time.
Well, and that's interesting, because that is a knock on Marion for whatever mm-hmm. reason, mm-hmm. that the votes are not counted fast enough, and people will look around the state and they'll see votes coming in other mm-hmm. counties and other parts of the state and nothing in Marion yet. Why is that?
So, like I said, we really work for accuracy. We don't even drop our number until we can, just Brian and I and people running with our tabulation, and Brian and I, we sit down, we look at our numbers, we compare everything that's coming in before we release that first number. We just want to make sure that the voters that checked in, their ballot is in that box and they're counted.
A lot of it also has to do with, as the biggest thing is accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
We're not so concerned about the speed, because we want to make sure that once you get the results from Marion County, you're 100% confident that those are the actual results. We don't want to go back in time and say, oh, oops, we had logic and accuracy numbers in those or something else. So we compare the number of people that have checked in to the number of ballots that have actually gone through the box prior to dropping that number. So we do, we're doing another double check, which does take more time, because we have to wait for the poll pads to come back with the VLMs and techs on election day, along with the ballot boxes that we're having dropped off by a moving company in Marion to bring those back on election night. So we're trying to do one more double check just to make sure that our numbers are accurate and that we don't have to say, hey, we made a mistake. Because we do, you can't make mistakes in elections.
The other thing, too, is we would always want to remind people the results that are posted on election night, there are unofficial results. So then there's a whole other process that takes a couple of weeks before we release our official numbers. Mm-hmm. So we do have 4 more days that we can accept UOCAVA ballots. They can still be mailed in. They still have that grace period after the election day. We'll work through provisionals. Provisional means that if you came in to vote and there was maybe your registration wasn't done correctly, or you forgot to register, you didn't meet any of the deadlines, you would have to do a provisional ballot, and then those are reviewed after the election. So, and then we release our final numbers. So everybody just needs to remember, too, election night is our unofficial results. We might have some close races this election. Yeah. So
now the term is still used, counting ballots. Now everybody knows who goes to vote, that your ballot prints off, you feed it into a machine, and then you leave. Is it still actually counting ballots?
Well, it can be, because we have the system that is the scanners that are out there on election day. We also have to make sure that we are including, maybe I use the word counted, including. We also have to include the ballots up until 7:30 that night. So if you put a ballot in our drop box at 7:20, we have to have that ballot reviewed, the envelope reviewed, making sure for accuracy, processed, and also scanned through the system. So we're busy doing all of that at the same time. So, right. But counting ballots, I probably use that term incorrectly, because we do have a scanner. We do have a tabulator that actually counts the ballots. Now, for our audit, we do a hand count. So we have to do an audit after every election. And after every election, usually about within 5 to 7 days after we certify our official results, we do an audit. And that audit is hand counting and compared to each of our precinct levels. And it's 5% of the number of ballots that we had processed at the elections, what we have to pull for our audit. So those are hand counted.
Yeah. So there is an actual hand count with the electronic tabulation. So we look at the electronic tabulation number, we hand count, and then we compare to make sure that those numbers match. And in Marion County, those are 100% accurate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do a lot of votes get kicked out for any reason?
We have, that. Like, let's say that you'll go to vote and you go to scan your ballot, and let's say that the corner tore coming out of, like, the Freedom Vote machine, those would have trouble scanning. And so, but we have a process for those, so they're handled by the voter, and they follow a different process, and those are actually placed in the back of our scanners, so that we could pull those out later and add those to our account. So those are handled a little bit differently. And there are some, you know, the corner might have torn, somebody might have put a crinkle in it. There's a few things like that. They won't scan. But I would say, I think we had maybe 5 in May. Maybe it wasn't very many.
But I don't know if that was your question. You were asking if people's ballots don't count. Is that correct?
Right. I mean, is there anything that disqualifies people?
So if you're voting provisionally and you were not registered in the state in those 30 days prior, like, so by the 5th of October, if you went online and registered on October 17th for the first time ever, and then you went in and voted provisionally, that would not count, but your provisional ballot application or your provisional envelope would count as your registration for the next election. So you would then be a registered voter moving forward.
Well, it's interesting. I believe we have issue 3 this time, mm-hmm. which would put having ID into the Ohio Constitution. Mm-hmm. Is there a lot of problem with people who show up who don't have ID on election day?
It's not that they don't have ID. It's that they have an expired ID. So we have that. That happens quite often. It happens in our early vote center. It happens on election day. However, there is a cure period for that. So people can go and get their new driver's license at the BMV, bring it over to our office. We'll make a copy. We'll place it with your provisional envelope. And then our board will vote on that ballot. So,
and that's that 4-day grace period also after the election day. So that's 4 days. The funny thing that we've been having happen the last few elections is somebody will go to vote and they don't know that their driver's license was expired. So they'll go to the polling location. They then have to vote provisionally. And then they leave that polling location. They go renew their driver's license, and we have them in our office with their new driver's license before we have the provisional ballot back from the polling location. So people are definitely more in touch with getting that process done.
We have a staff member that has a stack of IDs waiting for their ballots to come back from election day. So that's exciting.
Are there a lot of people, maybe first-time voters, who show up who don't realize they have to have ID?
I don't. I don't believe there's. Yeah, I was gonna say I don't remember that happening actually.
It's an interesting thing because obviously it's on the ballot this year and people talk a lot about it and I always wonder, does that happen at the polling places? Is there a lot of?
I'm sure it has happened where someone shows up and they don't know that they have to have ID. I would say it's probably not as common anymore as the The change was made a few years ago at this point to where you have to have a photo ID, a passport, or a veteran's ID of some sort. So, like, those changes made a few years ago. Maybe it was more common for someone to come in with a copy of a utility bill or something. But after a few elections, I think most people have caught on, like, oh, yeah. And if you're a first-time voter, you're probably going to have a parent that is also a voter, and they're going to be like, hey, don't forget your ID when you go to vote. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And most people are standing in line, they're getting their ID out as they're walking up to check in. I mean, they just know that that's part of the process. Yeah. So,
I don't know if you have the numbers here, but roughly, what is the voter makeup in Marion County?
Makeup as far as party?
Yeah, as far as
that's
party.
That's on our website, and I don't know that off the top of my head. We're at probably about around 38,000 voters, registered voters, but I don't know the makeup off the top of my head.
I would say the vast majority are unaffiliated.
Yes, vast majority.
Now, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Now people think that Marion is a very Republican county. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. But apparently, most registered voters unaffiliated.
Which I would say is more common throughout the state.
Yeah.
Most people don't vote in primary elections, and that's how you affiliate in Ohio, is at a primary election. You can't come into we do have this happen sometimes. People come into the Board of Elections and say, I want to change my party. Okay, well, in May of next year, if you live in the city, you may have an opportunity to do that, or you might have to wait until 2028 in March, because only in primary elections can you change your party affiliation in Ohio at this time.
You know, a question I have gotten, and I think it was prior to you guys, we used to have a lot more polling locations in Marion, mm-hmm. and they changed it, and some churches became polling locations. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have said, how can a church be a polling location with you know, separation of church and state, I guess is what they're going with on this.
Mm-hmm. So we do have some of our polling locations are at churches, just as it is throughout the state. We actually, a few years ago, wanted to have all of our polling locations at schools, but we weren't able to get that accomplished. And you can't just keep changing polling locations. So right now, I think we're happy with the 8 that we have. We reduced the number of polling locations because it's very the more polling locations you have, it's very costly. You're moving equipment, you're sending people out. And so it just seemed that we were down to 6, and we actually changed it to 8. But years ago, there were like 20, 30, 40 polling locations. But the 8 polling locations right now, the way we've divided our numbers up, it's working. It's working. It's looking good.
Yeah, I think we have like 4 in the city and then 4 mm-hmm. in the county. So mm-hmm. we're trying mm-hmm. to be very consistent with our numbers, and we're trying to make sure that we have them north, east, south, and west. For all of them. So. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Well, what's the biggest polling location? Where do you see the most votes come from?
Cornerstone is a big polling location for us, and Dayspring. Those are our two larger polling locations.
They have a friendly competition amongst their VLMs trying to see who's going to get the most voters.
Yeah, their voting location managers are like, who's going to have more voters this time?
I think we went through this in 2024, but people still ask this question because for years the Coliseum was mm-hmm. a polling location for so many people, mm-hmm. Biggest, if not... close to the biggest polling location in Marion.
It was the biggest.
Yeah, I would imagine. Not used anymore, and the reason is?
It was really large, and we actually, when Brian and I took our jobs, there were 14,000 registered voters at just Veterans Coliseum, and it just seemed like we could do a better job and make it a smoother process for our voters to make them smaller. And again, we wanted to get back to that community feel and smaller. And I know a lot of people around Veterans Coliseum were frustrated because they were used to walking there. But it just made more sense countywide to go to the smaller polling locations and change it to 8.
Yeah.
How did the pandemic change early voting and absentee voting numbers?
We had been in our jobs for about a year. So.
I would say that, in 2020, we had over 11,000 people vote mm-hmm. early, which those numbers had never been seen in Marion.
That
was the November general election for
presidential year.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that was a huge, that's almost a third of your voters are going through our early vote center, which mm-hmm. was a massive number. But more recently, I think it's dropped back down to like about 25% of our voters are going to show up at our early vote center or vote by mail.
It's interesting to me. Now, maybe it's just a perception, but when I ask people now, as we get close to the election, I say, who are you going to vote for? What's your feeling on something? A lot of them say I've already voted. And it seems like that's a much larger number than maybe it was 6 or 7 years ago. Maybe that's just a perception at this point.
I know that it's my perception that both parties are actually pushing more early voting because you don't want your voters to wait till the last minute, because a low propensity voter that like goes out and says, "Oh, I have a flat tire today. You know what? I'm not going to go vote on election day." Well, that's their last opportunity is election day. So they're going to miss the polls if they wait until that last minute, or maybe, you know, something happens and like you get into a car accident the day before and you're like, well, now I'm going to have to go deal with that and I'm not going to go vote. But if you have 30 days of, you know, voting, hey, you know what? I can pick a day that works for me. If it doesn't end up working on that particular day, I can go the next day or the day after. So we always tell people, I'd like to tell people, make a plan and just go and vote.
So I just wanted to go over some dates with
you
again.
Yes, please do. Please do.
Another minute here. So October 5th, again, is a registration deadline. Our office is open until 9 o'clock at night. Ballots get sent out on October 6th is the first day to send ballots out. So some people will put their absentee ballot application in, then they'll call our office a week later and say, well, where's my ballot? Well, ballots don't go out until October 6th because we are still working on producing those right now. The other thing is the Secretary of State's office in Ohio is sending out an absentee ballot application to every registered voter. Again, they've done that in the past, so they are going to be doing that again, and those first ballots will come out around Labor Day. But if you've already filled out an absentee ballot application, you don't have to do another one. And if you're concerned about, do we have your absentee ballot application yet, you're more than welcome to call our office. Starting mid-September, you will be able to track your absentee ballot application on our website, and you will also be able to see like when your ballot was sent out and so forth. So starting October 6th. So those are important dates. We cannot accept any absentee ballot applications after October 27th at 8:30 at night. So again, the sooner the better to get those absentee ballot applications in. Early voting begins on October 6th, and it is again going to be in the county building right outside of our office. So that seems to be a really convenient place for everybody to come in. They can park in that back parking lot. Also, I should have said something about if you do get an absentee ballot application or you do return your ballot, you can bring them in our office in person. You can mail them, but you can also drop them in the drop box. Some people say, well, you know, I would rather just drop it in the drop box. And so they can just pull in the back parking lot, drop it in the drop box. And that drop box is emptied every 24 hours by a bipartisan team. Once the ballots start coming in, we have a bipartisan team that goes out and empties that every 24 hours. So. Yeah.
Under video surveillance 24 hours a day as well.
Yep. Make sure you're always looking at our website because all of our information is updated. And again, once, like Brian said, mid-September when we start finishing our ballot, those sample ballots will be posted online and you can look at your registration. You can look and see when your absentee ballot application was processed in our office. You can see the date your ballot was mailed out. And then you can see the sample ballots, so you can see that before you come in.
We got about 5 minutes left, and I want to get the information out again about how people can become a precinct election official. But I am hearing a weird anomaly this year, for what it's worth, and that people might be showing up at polling locations on election day. Somebody said this to me last night, that on election day, I don't know if they're talking about the National Guard, I don't know if they're talking about ICE troops, but this is something that's going on. Is there a protocol, if something would happen on election day, where troops would show up at a polling location?
So we have our own security kind of backup plan for our polling locations as well as for our office. But to actually show up at our polling locations in Ohio, you actually have to be a filed observer. If anything outside of that would change, then we would have to address that as it happens.
We would have to get direction from the Secretary of State's office, I think, before they would be able to do something like that in Ohio.
Have you heard these things?
I've heard them, but yes, but nothing locally. I mean, I haven't heard anything from like the Secretary of State's office or anything locally, but I have heard the comment.
Yeah, so that would all come from the Secretary of State, the direction on what to do in that particular case.
Yep.
Could somebody federally do that statewide?
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know the answer to that either.
It's an interesting thing. I've never heard that before. Even last night, somebody said that to me, and I said, well, I would imagine it's highly unlikely something like that would happen. But If it did, I don't know what the rules would be. I guess the Secretary of State would direct that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. What are, if somebody wants to become a precinct election official, what should they do? Who should they contact?
So call our office again at 740-223-4090. Call our office. You can also use the QR code that we have out on our coasters and our posters around town. You can actually go to the Secretary of State's website. You can actually go to the Marion County Board of Elections website. So any of those are available for you to be a precinct election official. And we need everybody we can get. So we actually, like I said, that's been our big campaign this year, is just to get more precinct election officials, increase those numbers, and get the 17-year-olds out there and working for us. The older poll workers absolutely love the 17-year-old kids that come in and help us. They're like thrilled to death. So yes, we definitely want as many as we can get.
Yeah. And you get paid? It's not too long a day. I mean, people could survive it, I think.
Yep.
And it sounds like a good time. We got 3 minutes left. What's the best and worst part of working at the Board of Elections?
Oh, gosh. Best part, I think, is just seeing that the process is followed and making sure that we have safe and secure elections. I think that is a priority in our office, and I think it's exciting to be a part of that for the Marion County voters. I would say the worst part is campaign finance. auditing campaign finance is not fun.
That's absolutely the worst part of it. I would say that's absolutely true. But I do agree with Cindy that the secure, accurate, fair elections, I actually have a little acronym. I call it SAFE. So it's secure, accurate, fair elections are the best part of this job, making sure that, you know, we can be a part of that process.
We've got about 2 minutes left here, and it's interesting. In the last week, we heard the Board of Elections has decided in our 6th Ward vacancy, as Mr. Dichtel has resigned his position on City Council, that City Council will choose the next City Council person.
I don't want to say that the Board of Elections has decided that.
Okay.
The Board of Elections reached out and found that the law states that the City Council should be filling this seat, not the party.
So what happens is the person that was currently in that seat was not nominated. They were not elected in a primary, and they had and the Republican Party had already filled the first replacement in the 6th Ward. And so now this seat gets treated just like a village council seat. And so village council, if somebody resigns, they have the council has 30 days to appoint, and then it reverts to the mayor. So this follows that exact same process.
Now, a lot of people have been saying it has to be a person of the same party. Does the law say that?
It does not.
It does not say that.
We don't make the rules for City Council. We only give them the information that we have. So I would say that it's up to them how they decide they're going to fill that seat.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of questions on things like this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of phone calls and emails. And
yep.
Yes, but so we checked with our legal counsel, and we made sure that we were on the right path, because we didn't want the incorrect information being out there. So, yep, they'll have 30 days. City Council have 30 days to appoint, and then it reverts to the mayor to appoint.
The elections are right around the corner. Think about being a precinct election official. Sounds like a fun day. Meet a lot of great people and maybe some friends that you'll have for the rest of your life. You never know. Thanks, Cindy Price, the director, and Brian Blair, the deputy director of the Board of Elections, for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks
Appreciate
so much.
It.
For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Linda Sims up next.
Margaret Bradley. There's no rhythm to it. Of course, it doesn't. I think in the end it doesn't matter, but it's just whatever you think. So I thought Marva, I wanted the M, so Marva Gibbs had a better rhythm to me.
Marla.
And so I don't know. That's why it was successful, but it was successful. So.
You're the only Marla I've ever known, and thank goodness, because you're one of a kind.
Oh, there's two Marlas.
Oh, there is another Marla.
Yeah, Danny's daughter. No, that's Marlo.
Oh, that's right, Marlo.
She's calling me